Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with orthodox Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A great article in USA Today. Today, David Skeel, a law professor at the University of Pennsylvania, wrote the article. And he says that weeks before its first horrendous beheading of an American journalist, the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria gave Christians in the second largest city a stark one-week choice: convert or face execution. Christian houses were marked with a black N for Nazarene, a reference to Jesus. Those who fled were stripped of everything: money, jewelry, passports, wallets, watches, everything. And for the first time in 16 centuries, there's no worship on Sunday. Syrian Christians are under equally serious assault as are Coptic Christians in Egypt. But writes David Skeel, history offers a glimmer of hope in the midst of this darkness. Then he makes reference to the Roman Empire, which sought to snuff out Christianity during the reign of Nero. And yet, Christianity survived and eventually thrived. Ironically, Christianity's own commitment to human rights such as the dignity of women, was a key feature in its success. We think about the modern epic in China, which clamped down on Christians during the infamous Cultural Revolution. The Chinese leadership so ruthlessly efficient that for years, very few Christians could be found in China at all. But now, the numbers vary, but people talk of 60 to 100 to 130 millions of Christians in China. Any system of thought that speaks to our deepest needs cannot be kept at bay forever, no matter how virulent the opposition. It will always spring back. Of course, the resilience of Christian beliefs obviously should not be an excuse for complacency as ISIL continues its rampage. Its disdain for human rights cries out for a response. But we can take comfort knowing that repression is not the end of the story. In fact, it's not repression that is the end of the story. The end of the story is resurrection. How did the Christian faith not only survive, but thrive in the Roman Empire? And how will it today? It will be because of belief in resurrection. As Christ rose, we too will rise. I think of James, the half-brother of Jesus, embarrassed by everything that his half-brother represented until he saw Christ in a post-resurrection appearance. And then he became a bondservant of Christ. And he was willing to be executed for his belief that his half-brother was God. The reason I bring this up is certainly to underscore the reality of resurrection, but also to point out that one of the great chapters in the book that we're offering for your support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the book, of course, Christianity on Trial by Mark Lanier, one of the chapters is titled The Audacity of resurrection. Now, I wrote a book titled Resurrection. I wrote a book titled Afterlife. And yet I found this to be one of the most stunning chapters on resurrection I've ever read. The book, again, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. And this is not just an academic process. It's not just so you can prove the resurrection academically. But if you internalize the resurrection experientially, then you will be what the early Christians were, lions of the faith. You will not fear ISIL. ISIL will fear you because ultimately the resurrection has no fear. You can face the lion's gory mane, the tyrant's brandished steel, the fires of a thousand deaths if you know that Christ rose from the dead, and you as certainly will rise as well. It's what makes all the difference in the world. It is what makes Christianity undefeatable. Again, Christianity on Trial, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. As we are on the eve of an evening in Kansas City, I want to mention that if you want to join us, there are very few openings, but you can check it out at equip.org/events. You can register there online, equip.org/events, or you can give us a call. That might be the best thing to do at this late hour, 888-7000 in the letter CRI. We'll kick it all off on Thursday, the 25th, just 2 days from now. And again, the evening will be from 7 to 9. It will involve a message on mining the Bible for all its wealth. I can't tell you how excited I am about this message. Also be answering your questions, autographing books, and much, much more, all taking place again 2 days from now, Kansas City. Check it out on the web, equip.org/events. As always, the number to dial to get your questions answered today, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. And I should give our contact information before going to our callers on the web again, equip.org via the mail, box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. First up today, Ryan, he's listening in Illinois, bought radio. Hi, Ryan.
Hello.
Hi. Your question.
I had a question about I'm a Southern Baptist here in Illinois, and I was just wondering what the good Christian way or the good Christian thing to do. What would they do to handle ISIS or ISIL?
Yeah, well, I mean, the reality of love protects the innocent against evil aggressors, and therefore, when you have an evil aggressor that is seeking to stamp out Christianity, you are called for a defense. Defense of the faith is not only giving an answer, but sometimes involves action, which is to say, that when during World War II you had an evil aggressor, it was time for a nation like America to stand up to that evil aggressor. We have policemen that maintain order within societies, and I think the same thing is true amongst societies. So I think force in the face of this kind of evil is something that is mandated by Christian love.
Okay, that helps out a lot. I'm just curious about how that is gonna all turn out. You know, I mean, we pray for them every day that it gets better for them, and I hope that Jesus will help them because they're in desperate need over there in the Middle East. It's pretty bad.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you brought attention to that and underscore that once more by your call, Ryan. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Douglas. He's listening in Alberta, Canada, CJCA. Hi, Douglas.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Kind of breaking up here a bit.
I can hear you.
Okay, that's great. I'm just wondering, like, I've studied this quite a while now, and it clearly states that Saturday is the Sabbath, not Sunday. Sunday was the Lord's Day. But Saturday is the Sabbath. I'm just still wondering why, after all this time, people are still insisting Sunday is worship day.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine that people are still wondering about that when you think about the early Christian church and its recognition that the most dangerous snare was a failure to recognize that Jesus is the substance that fulfills the symbol of the Sabbath. I mean, this is tantamount to asking the question, why are we not sacrificing animals? And the writer of Hebrews answers that question by pointing out that to do so would be tantamount to trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. Temple, priest, and sacrifice are a type that has been intensified, heightened, and ultimately fulfilled in the antitype, Jesus Christ. And so it is with the day of rest. In Christ, we find we have our Sabbath rest, and so we are celebrating now the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what I talked about in the opening monologue. Not only that, but remember that the emphasis for the Sabbath changes from the days of creation to the exile, ultimately to the rest we have in Jesus Christ. And if we cannot worship on the first day of the week in honor of the resurrection, pray tell, what can we celebrate? Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Lane listening in Napa, California. Hi, Lane.
Hi, Hank. It's definitely a pleasure to be speaking with you today.
It's nice to talk to you.
I really appreciate your ministry and reaching many people throughout the world. It's pretty amazing.
Thank you.
And blessings to you. From our Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, bless
I have
you.
A question.
Bless
today.
You. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. It pertains to the time in the Book of Acts when many of the people were giving up their possessions and giving up their worldly attachments to become part of the temple of God, to be made more in His image than the mere image in society. But I was curious what you thought about the Book of Acts then and what was going on as far as the unity and the Spirit and the power of God to the present-day churches and what's going on now in the present day. So I was just curious about that. Your points, because you're obviously very knowledgeable and have been blessed with, a lot of wisdom to ascertain a lot of things pertaining to God. So I'm going to leap at that and see what you have to say.
Yeah, I think this is a non-normative historical narrative. It is certainly very significant in terms of the historical narrative, but I don't think that if you take this narrative and you apply the didactic teaching passages of Scripture to it, that you end up doing exactly the same thing that the early Christian church did. Now, it is important for us to recognize that wealth is an engine. It can be used for the propagation of the kingdom, and that's ultimately why we shouldn't be ascetics giving up everything that we have, but rather we should be those who use wealth for the sake of the kingdom. If we abandon wealth, it doesn't mean that wealth disappears. It just means that someone else controls that wealth. What we want to do is judiciously, with stewardship, use the wealth of the world for the sake of the kingdom. Christ inaugurated the kingdom. We are those who are participants in the consummation of the kingdom, which will be ultimately fulfilled when Jesus Christ appears a second time. But as to the state of the church, we could learn a lot from the New Testament church in both a pro and a con. There are many pros that we see as we read through the book of Acts, but many cons as well. The immorality in the Corinthian church, for example, was something that makes us blush even in the present day. So a lot of people want to go back to the first century church, but what we want to do is go back to the teachings of Jesus Christ and make that the template for faith and practice. Now, the teachings of Jesus Christ, of course, is the whole counsel of God, because Christ inspired the Word of God. The Word of God is inspired by God, and Jesus Christ, of course, is God. So every single word is useful. What I think one of the big things that we need to get back to is the wisdom and wealth encapsulated in the infallible repository for redemptive revelation, which is the Word of God. We're coming up to station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions, so please don't touch that dial. Remember the number to dial to get your question answered, 888-ASK-HANK.
Would you be ready to take a stand if your faith were on trial? Would you know which evidence would be admissible in a court of law? To say yes to these questions, you need more than mere faith. You need the answers that one of America's leading trial attorneys can provide. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org, equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return right after this. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Is it more reasonable to believe that a God exists than not? Is it plausible that such a God would choose to create and communicate with humanity? Can we trust the alleged eyewitness testimony to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus? In Christianity on Trial, one of America's top trial lawyers, Mark Lanier, brings a penetrating legal eye to examine the plausibility of the Christian faith. Explaining the rules that courts follow, he interrogates witnesses from throughout history to explore whether it makes sense to accept the Christian worldview or not. Ultimately, we must all honestly weigh the evidence and choose what is worthy of belief. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire two-hour audio Gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This two-hour audio Gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
If you were asked what Augustine and Anselm, Heraclitus and Descartes, or Josephus and Tacitus had in common, you'd be excused for drawing a blank. But what they have in common is that they are all witnesses called to the stand by one of America's best trial lawyers to test the truth of Christianity. Armed with incisive analytical skills and the well-honed ability to quickly spot weaknesses in arguments, attorney and Bible scholar Mark Lanier takes on the tough questions that Christians need to be able to handle today. With clear and penetrating insights, Lanier cross-examines historical figures from Charles Darwin to Friedrich Nietzsche, and from Adolf Hitler to B.F. Skinner. You won't want to miss the verdict in this new book, Christianity on Trial. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial as our appreciation for standing with us, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org, equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Right back to our phone callers. Next up is Charles, St. Louis, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Charles.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Doing well, thank you.
My question is, why do you think people are falling for this seductive brand of New Thought metaphysics where they're talking about, you know, if you speak something into existence, it'll happen. This whole secret propaganda that you hear about all the time, and they got a book out called The Secret. Why do you think people are falling for this at such a high rate?
Yeah, I think we live in a biblically illiterate culture, and as a result of that, you fall for the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. Satan never presents error in its naked deformity. If he did, no one would buy into it. And so it's always a seductive voice. And, you know, you think about New Thought metaphysical practitioners, they say that everything in the universe is at your disposal. All you have to do is attract whatever you want by your thoughts. And now Christianity comes along and papers it over with biblical words, and under the guise of biblical teaching, presents word of faith. Now, certainly, words are important, and faith is important, but the problem is both have been redefined. And so now the word of faith is little more than New Thought metaphysics lightly papered over with Christian terminology and rhetoric. And, of course, the de facto high priest of this new way of thinking is Joel Osteen. And quite frankly, after reading his bestsellers, I decided to write a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity, because whatever Rhonda Byrne did in The Secret, Joel Osteen doubles in his books, doubles in the sense of scripture twisting. And it is an abomination and unfortunately goes unpressed. In fact, his platform continues to grow. He has his own channel on Sirius. He's become a mega voice of Christianity. He's on all the talk shows. His books are runaway bestsellers. He's heard all over the world. His impressions on Facebook and Twitter combined over 1 billion per month, to look at his statistics. And again, it is because people are desperate for answers, and therefore they're falling for this new version of Christianity. I mean, you think about his scripture twisting on virtually every page of his bestsellers, and you can come up with no worse example of turning the scripture into a wax nose than this.
Back in the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, they hid. In the cool of the day, God came to them and said, "Adam, Eve, where are you?" They said, "God, we were hiding because we were naked." I love the way God answered them. He said, "Adam, who told you that you were naked?" In other words, who told you that something was wrong with you? God immediately knew the enemy had been talking to them. God is saying to you today, who told you that you don't have what it takes to succeed? Who told you the best grades you could make in school were C's rather than A's? Who told you that you're not attractive enough? Who told you that your marriage is not going to last? Who told you something was wrong with you?
It is absolutely incredible. I honestly have chills right now just listening to this. I mean, it's so seductive. Here you see an utter disregard for the biblical text, context. He's turning the quintessential voice of judgment into a primer on self-esteem and positive confession. Acts like God is trying to encourage Adam. In reality, this is the thunder of judgment. And this is just one of many examples that could be given. I wrote about this in a journal article, the cover story of the Christian Research Journal right now. It's Ostenification and What It Pretends. I also wrote a book on it. The journal article tells you why I wrote the book, what I was concerned about. But the book, The Ostenification of American Christianity, is now available on download. You can check that out on the web at equip.org. You can get it in six packs, so you can give it away to others. It's very important that people do not fall for this scripture twisting, because there's a dark hue on the other end of the positive self-affirmations, and that is, if you are a paralytic, Joel Osteen will actually mock you. Your problem is words got you into that place, and words should be able to get you out of that place, but instead of standing up and walking away from your malady, you're sitting there feeling sorry for yourself. I kid you not. You can read all about it in my book, The Ostenification of American Christianity, and even with that, we have just scratched the surface. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Joe, Springfield, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Joe.
Hello, brother. Great to see you. How you doing?
Nice to talk to you.
I just had a quick question about Melchizedek. I grew up, you know, believing it was a pre-incarnate Christ, and I go to a Southern Baptist church, and my Sunday school teacher was saying that, you know, through tradition, that the Jews, people believe that it's actually Shem. And, you know, I put a lot of belief in the tradition, you know, through the pages, Josephus, and, you know, all that, the church history and everything. But I did some research on it, came across, and one of the biggest supporters of that thought was the Mormons, the Latter-day Saints. And I just kind of wanted to get your opinion about it.
Sure, yeah, and the Dead Sea Scrolls have really shed a tremendous amount of light on this subject, but I think the text of Scripture is sufficient, which tells us that Melchizedek is without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life. If Melchizedek had been an earthly king, the biblical text would certainly give us ample reference to his genealogy. But Scripture not only designates Melchizedek king of righteousness and king of peace and overtly tells us that he is without father or mother, without genealogy or without beginning of days or end of life, but that like the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. So in contrast to men who die, Melchizedek is declared to be the living. So I think that your initial thought is absolutely correct. Melchizedek is a Christophany. It is a precarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. I wrote about this in some detail, supplying all the evidence in my book, Has God Spoken?
Yeah, and see, I brought up Hebrews, the verse you were talking about in Hebrews to him, and he said that that's focusing more on the priestly side of it, not necessarily the earthly side. And then he pointed out that Shem and Noah were both still alive and all that.
Well, but totally you got to remember that the author of Hebrews has taken pains to underscore the superiority of Jesus to the patriarchs, to angels, to the prophets, and even to the Levitical priesthood. And in doing that, pointing out that Melchizedek, again, is without father, mother, genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God. Again, I think all the evidence taken collectively, and then add to it new light shed on this subject by what was found in the Qumran caves, and you have ample evidence that this is, in fact, a pre-incarnate appearance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Cindy next. She's listening in Oklahoma. Hi, Cindy.
Hi.
Hi.
I was going to ask you if, first of all, I wanted to tell you that I listen to your program. I have for about 6 months now, and I really enjoy it. And I was going to ask you what the Bible teaches or does not teach about purgatory.
Well, the Bible doesn't teach anything about purgatory. Purgatory was officially defined by the Council of Florence back in the 1500s, and it was officially defended by the Council of Trent in the late 16th century. But nowhere is purgatory officially depicted in the Bible. And even the New Catholic Encyclopedia acknowledges that the doctrine of purgatory is not explicitly stated there, and therefore they appeal to the tradition of the fathers rather than the testimony of Scripture. I think that the idea of purgatory, certainly drawn to its logical conclusion, militates against the sufficiency of Christ's atonement on the cross. So I don't think it is a biblical view, and I agree with the New Catholic Encyclopedia that you have to depend on tradition. Even the references that are often pointed to by Roman Catholics in Maccabees don't make the point, because there's a distinction between mortal and venial sins. Mortal sins cannot be atoned for in purgatory, and yet the sins that are in play in Maccabees are mortal sins.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you very much. I really enjoy your program.
Oh, bless you. Thank you so much, Cindy.
God bless you.
God bless you as well, yeah. And I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. I should mention that this book, along with my other books, available personalized to you, a family member, or a friend when you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, which is a base of people that gives the ministry the kind of support that is necessary week in, week out. And I can tell you that we had a rough summer. We got woefully behind in August, and now we are attempting to catch up through the provisions of God's people. But I do want to mention that this is a serious situation. It is very difficult, obviously, to pay radio bills and the like when you simply don't have the resources. And so anything that you can do, if you have some of the Lord's resources and can donate them to the ministry, would be deeply appreciated and used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. You know, on issues like purgatory and the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, what I do is I give you the nugget. Not a lot of extraneous information, but the gem is polished. It is as succinct as you can possibly make it. And I give there three reasons why I feel like the doctrine of purgatory undermines the sufficiency of Christ's atonement on the cross. Be right back with more answers. Stay tuned.
If your beliefs were put on trial by a jury of aggressive atheists, would the evidence of your faith be sufficient to acquit you? I hope so. But the sad truth is that many Christians today would simply wither under the prosecutorial fire of well-educated secularists. That's why you'd do well to read Christianity on Trial, a timely book by one of America's leading trial lawyers. Also a Bible scholar, attorney Mark Lanier summons to the witness stand leading historical figures to render a verdict on Christianity. From a cross-examination of Augustine and Descartes to Darwin and Nietzsche, you'll learn whether Christianity has the evidence to stand up in court. You won't want to miss Mark Lanier's new book, Christianity on Trial. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire 2-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
Peer out into the night sky on a crystal clear evening. Chances are you can see about 3,000 stars, a mere drop in the celestial ocean, because astronomers confirm that the real number of stars in the heavens is on the order of 100 sextillion. If you could hitch a ride on a beam of light traveling at 186,000 miles per second, it would take you 100,000 years just to cross our Milky Way galaxy. To cross the universe, it would take you 93 billion years. Does the vastness and orderliness of the cosmos count as evidence for God? Learn what one of America's leading trial lawyers says in Christianity on Trial. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Like it or not, your faith is increasingly on trial. With that in mind, could you persuade a skeptical jury that your beliefs are anything more than wishful thinking? In Christianity on Trial, renowned trial lawyer Mark Lanier summons a host of witnesses from across the centuries to provide compelling evidence for the Christian faith. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And back to our phone callers. Next up is Billy in Gold Bar, Washington, KCIS. Hi, Billy.
Yeah, hi, Hank. Mr. Hanegraaff, I just want to take a second and thank you for answering your call and being determined and dedicated and devoted to furthering and defending the kingdom of our Lord and Savior with your time given left in this life.
Bless you, Billy. Thank you for saying that. It means the world to me.
Yeah, I've been called also in attending LBU apologetics. I'm taking hermeneutics and New Testament survey. But I have a message at our serving in our local New Testament church. And so I'd like to put the question to you this way. If you were preparing for a message about how flippantly we sin, like it's no big deal because we're not getting punished right away, you know, but it is all getting recorded, and we're going to have to answer at the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm talking about Christians, you know, saved brothers and sisters, how we sin every day and like it's, you know, not a big deal, but yeah, it is a big deal. And so I'm looking for some verses that you would put in that message to try to help the group just realize that it's, you know, it's not innocent. It's not, you know, it's actually causing damage. And it's, you know, it's like the devil looking up at God saying, look at what I'm making your children do. But I just like to know what verses you would use to help them realize that it's actually, you know, it's dangerous ground. Yeah, what would you put in that message for reference?
Well, first of all, kudos. I mean, I think that a lot of people feel if they raise their hand or walk an aisle, there's a big check mark that goes on a computer page in the sky, and therefore, no matter what you do, it doesn't really make any difference. You're saved. But the whole point of salvation is to be a participant in the kingdom of God. And those who are participants in the kingdom of God recognize that though there is no other foundation save Jesus Christ, on that foundation you can build. And you can build either using gold and costly stones or inferior materials. And the day of the Lord will demonstrate what kind of materials you used. If what is built survives, you will receive reward. If it is burned up, you will suffer loss. You will be saved, but only as one, says Paul, escaping through the flames. He gives us a narrative here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15, that I think is very powerful and something that I would refer to. The other part of it, though, I think is important, and that is consequences. Consequences follow inexorably like night follows day. So you see great men of God who sinned in the Bible, perhaps the quintessential example is David, takes his senses, demonstrating that he's leaning upon the arm of flesh rather than the arm of God, a very serious sin for Israel's quintessential king. He has the wife, he takes a wife, Bathsheba, from a man, Uriah, and then to make sure that this is covered up, he has Uriah killed on the battlefront, and yet David is certainly someone who God restores his spirit to. David is contrite. He confesses his sin, but the sword never leaves his home. So again, consequences follow like night follows day, and therefore we cannot be cavalier about our sin. There's a consequence in this life, and certainly a consequence in the life to come, because we want to build using gold and costly stones, not inferior materials. And of course, Jesus himself said, "Behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me. I'll give to everyone according to what he has done." And that is not a singular statement. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, "The Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done." So again, we're saved by God's grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ alone, but we're saved unto good works, and what we do now will count for all eternity.
Mr. Hanegraaff, thank you for your time, and you know, I do believe that you will have all five crowns. Thank you.
Bless you. I sometimes, you know, if you know the wickedness of your own heart, and I think in the quietness of our own rooms, we all know that we are desperately wicked, and all the more glorious the righteousness of Jesus Christ that covers us. And so I would not want to stand before God dressed in the filthy robes of my own self-righteousness. I am grateful that I'm covered by the righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Back to the phone lines. Kevin, Wichita, Kansas, Bot Radio. Hi, Kevin.
Taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a question. Those chick tracks, Jack Chick, some of the things they say in those seem like pretty outlandish. I was just wondering what kind of opinion you have on those.
Well, you know, I'm a little biased because we are the brunt of chick tracks, just like many others are. But there's no question that Jack Chick is a person with a chronic tendency to sensationalize the facts. You look at what he does with the Roman Catholic Church. However you feel about Roman Catholicism, he certainly goes to great lengths to add sophistry, sensationalism to the equation. Supposedly, the Jesuit order is secretly plotting to subvert the world. They are the problem behind political, economic, social, religious issues, and the masterminds behind Lincoln's assassination, the Ku Klux Klan, World War I, the Mafia, the international banking institutions, communism, Nazism, the Vietnam War, the New Age movement, cults, and even the Christian Research Institute. So I think he's gone overboard to such an extent that it's hard to take him seriously.
Okay. I guess I get that.
Yep.
All right. Well, I appreciate it.
Hey, you got it. Thanks for your call. Back to the phone lines. Fred in Madera, California, KERI. Hi, Fred.
Hi there. I got a question. I read in the New Testament, I believe it was, Jesus cast the demons into some pigs and they all ran down the cliff or drowned in the water. What happened there exactly?
Well, the unclean go into the unclean. I mean, the pigs can only enter the swine at the command of Jesus Christ. And of course, the fact that the herd is destroyed shows the protection of God on humanity. Otherwise, humanity itself would have perished under demonic influence. And it reinforces that swine herding was not lawful for the Jews and shows the incomparable value of human beings again, whose salvation is worth every sacrifice. But again, this is a non-normative event. So when you hear about this, this is not something that would be normative. Where the swine and their instinct would be taken over by the unclean spirits. So it is kind of...
Who did the pigs belong to, though?
You know what? I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know if the Bible says. I think you can look it up in, I think it's Matthew chapter 8, and I believe also Luke 8.
Yeah, it would seem that somebody would be at a loss of property if that was the case.
Well, that's true. But again, swine herding was not lawful for the Jews, and therefore it was a violation of the commands of that theocratic context.
That's very interesting. It always puzzled me who exactly were they, who they belonged to, and what kind of damage they actually suffered from it.
Well, you know, they perished.
What's that?
They perished.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was a complete, it's like totaling a car. It was a complete loss.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Okay, Hank, enjoy your show, and have yourself a good day.
Hey, thanks, Fred. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines, Chris in Arkansas. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Hank.
Hi.
Hey, I had a question from a couple weeks ago. A caller called in, and I tried to call that day, and he didn't ask specifically, but I think he was asking whether you had to worship in church or whether you could worship anywhere.
Well, remember,
and I just had a question about that.
Yeah, remember that when you become a believer, you are not a Lone Ranger Christian. You are born again into a family of God. Which is to say that baptism symbolizes that you are taking up your cross and you are following Christ as a living stone in the temple of God, not in isolation. Even sacraments like communion underscore the community of the saints. So there's no such thing as Lone Ranger Christianity. And even from a practical standpoint, many logs burning together burn brightly, but when a log falls off to the side, the embers quickly die out. So no, it's absolutely critical that we worship God through prayer, praise, and the proclamation of the word in community, that we experience oneness or fellowship, as Paul delineates in Romans chapter 12, which is a great chapter to read on this subject. I memorized that chapter many years back, and it has been something I've drawn upon not only on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but in sermons and the like. Also, it's important to recognize that within the context of the church, you're equipped to go out and impact the world, communicating not only what you believe and why you believe what you believe, but in whom you have believed. So the church serves as the God-ordained vehicle through which people are equipped. In fact, we as an organization come alongside the work of the church as co-laborers in Christ, so that people, not in isolation again, but in community, are equipped, always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them with gentleness and with respect.
Right. And I've got friends, and I've heard other people say, I go out into the woods and hunt, and I worship God there, and that's where I'm closest to God, so I don't really have to go to church. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
No, it's wonderful to worship God in the woods or the valleys or the streams, but you cannot neglect the body of Christ. When you do so, the body suffers, and you suffer as well. Again, Romans chapter 12, I think it's the go-to chapter. It's wonderful in terms of understanding how critical the community or the fellowship of the saints really is. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour once we go off the air. Continue taking your calls. If you're hanging on, do be patient. I'll try to get to you as soon as I can. And if you're dialing in for the next hour, just call 888-ASK-HANK. We'll answer your questions as well. That's 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. You can start dialing that number right now, 888-ASK-HANK. And we will resume after a very short break. I'll start taking your questions again. 888-ASK-HANK. Thanks for tuning in today. Look forward to seeing you next time with more.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Is it more reasonable to believe that a God exists than not? Is it plausible that such a God would choose to create and communicate with humanity? Can we trust the alleged eyewitness testimony to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus? In Christianity on Trial, one of America's top trial lawyers, Mark Lanier, brings a penetrating legal eye to examine the plausibility of the Christian faith. Explaining the rules that courts follow, he interrogates witnesses from throughout history to explore whether it makes sense to accept the Christian worldview or not. Ultimately, we must all honestly weigh the evidence and choose what is worthy of belief. To receive your copy of Christianity on Trial as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire two-hour audio Gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This two-hour audio Gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.